Welcome to Spingola Speaks. Thanks for joining me today. This is Deanna Spingola, and I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. It is Wednesday, April 20th. I thank you for listening to RBN and to this program. If you have questions, comments, suggestions, email me at deanna@spingola.com. Be sure to check my radio schedule page at spingola.com to see past and future guests and links to their websites. Go to spingola.com. At the top of the page, between my picture and the image of my book, I have created a radio schedule button. Just click it to see the schedule. Guest information, of course, is always available at RBN in their archives. And you can subscribe to the archives for only $1.33 per month, which is a fabulous bargain. We celebrate a lot of birthdays, well, not so many, but a few birthdays of some public figures in this country, including Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. Some people also celebrate other days, like Columbus Day on October 12th. Today, inasmuch as it is the anniversary of Adolf Hitler's birth, April 20th, 1889, we are going to talk about Hitler. And we will take calls in the second hour after the first break at 800-313-9443. My guests today are Gerhard Strau and Carolyn Jaeger. Carolyn is the author of Auschwitz, The Underground Tour, and is the host of her own radio program called The Heretics Hour. Carolyn also writes articles for the Barnes Review, my favorite periodical, and they are also a publisher. If you are interested in accurate history, check out the Barnes Review, not only their periodical, but also the books that they publish. Carolyn's websites are carolynjaeger.com and elliewieseltattoo.com. And those websites are linked on that radio schedule page. Gerhard also has a page on the Fighting for Liberty site. And I have that page linked on the radio schedule page also. There's another interesting website, Frederick Tobin's website. And I have that linked also on the radio schedule page, but it is Tobin.biz, T-O-B-E-N.biz, and he has a link to an article entitled, Why Is It That the World Cannot Forget Adolf Hitler on His Birthday? And so I suggest that you visit that page. There's a lot of very interesting things there, including the definition of anti-Semitism, and he has a questionnaire on whether or not you consider yourself an anti-Semite, and what you have to do to be one. Okay, Carolyn, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Deanna.
Well, this is an interesting day, and I hope that we have an interesting conversation, and we chat back and forth via email, and we've had some interesting things going on lately, particularly in regards to the video of Eustace Mullins, and that kind of ignited some comments and questions and whatnot. And so maybe we can talk about that as well as other things. We do have to take a 3-minute break and hear from our sponsors, and we will be right back with our guests, Gerhard Strau and Carolyn Jaeger.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Welcome back, friends. My guests today are Gerhard Strau and Carolyn Yeager. And we don't have Gerhard on the phone yet. I'm not sure. There might be some technical difficulties. I attempted to get a hold of him this morning and was not successful. But anyway, we have Carolyn. And some of the emails that I've gotten recently, particularly in considering the programs that we've done recently on Hitler, is people emailing me and saying, well, don't you know that the Jews actually financed Hitler, and don't you know that he was a Rothschild? And this, despite all of the articles that you've written about that, and despite the fact that you've addressed that issue on the program before, but perhaps the people who wrote to me did not hear that. Or perhaps those myths are so well ingrained in the population's mind that they just simply don't believe truth when they hear it, or it just kind of goes in one ear and out the other, or something.
Yeah, Deanna, I'm really pleased to be being asked to be on this program today, because I think it's really important to talk about Adolf Hitler, the man, you know, and that's what we can do today. And this particular issue that you brought up is so hardcore in people. They just don't want to let go of it. It takes care of a lot of things for people in different ways, which we can go into if we want to. But there is no truth to the fact that Adolf Hitler was was part Jewish through his father being his grandmother being having an affair with a Jew and being impregnated with his father, and therefore that is a totally fabricated story that started back in Hitler's early political days, in the early 20s, when his opponents were trying to find ways to find things against him and turn people against him. And since he was openly fairly anti-Semitic as far as Germany was concerned at that time, they used that, you know, saying, well, here's this guy talking against the Jews, and he is a Jew, you know, and they came up with this stuff. But, you know, it has been proven not to be true, and yet there are websites all over the Internet which carry this story as though it were factual, and they don't show any proof because there isn't any, but they just state it as though it's somehow accepted. And some pretty important people, I mean, people with recognized names and reputations still pass this around quite a bit, and it's really shameful. But this is this fits in with their idea that they don't want to be what you might say, they don't want to accept Adolf Hitler. You know, they just don't want to allow that to come in, that change to be made in our historical account.
Sure,
is what I would say. And so I don't really know, what to say about that, except that they should go to my website, carolynyeager.com, and at the top of the front page, there is still the link, or you can go under my articles. There is the article that I wrote, which I think is called Why Adolf Hitler Is Not a Jew, and why I forget what I titled it, but something like that. Why He's Not a Rothschild, and How It Got Started, I think is what it's called.
Sure.
You know, it's quite detailed. And that's why I put that all together after I had done the research for my radio program. And I used Werner Maser's book. He's a German historian who has done the most careful genealogy of Hitler and research into it, and talked to all kinds of relatives there in Germany and went through all the papers and documents and so on. And what he comes up with is quite persuasive, and it definitely does away with that whole story. Now, the other part of this is that Hitler was a Zionist. This is more popular. Hitler was a Zionist, and he was working for the Zionists. And this is kind of hard to get rid of in people because, you know, it's like if I would say, what now, Diana Spingola is secretly working for the Zionists. And I can point out different things that you've said or guests you've had or things that you've done, you know, and say, see, this shows that she is, because she's not. And the way they do this, you know, and what do you do about things like that? That's just the kind of, where people who, you get people who want to believe something. If they
sure.
want to believe it, they'll believe it.
Sure. And it also covers the real man and what he actually did. And if people have a very, very negative opinion about somebody, they're not going to search any deeper to find out exactly what it was that the Zionists and the people who were telling these stories wanted to distract. I mean, they were distracting mm-hmm. at that time, the lies that were told, and people didn't see his message, didn't look at what he was saying. And it's the same now, except now he's not around to defend himself. And, of course, the records, many of the records that are available or were available are apparently destroyed. But Maser, and Maser was not particularly pro-Hitler.
No, not at all.
And so, no
matter what his feelings might have been, he certainly couldn't have professed himself that way. Because as we know, ever since 1945, I mean, you cannot write a good word. If you show any inclination to say, well, Hitler wasn't all that bad, you're done for.
Sure.
And there are a few who have said that and remained sort of on the fringe, you know, they're kind of tolerated. Because some of them aren't German. If you're German, you really were not allowed to do it. But some of them, like there are some British historians who are supposedly very, people think that they've been very, very fair. Well, they've just been a little bit fair.
Fairer. Are you talking about David Irving?
Well, David Irving is more so, but people like John Toland and some other British historians who do say some things a little more correctly. They're not just, you know, totally distorting the whole historical record. But even they, you know, like Maser, you know, they have to make sure that they denounce Nazism. They say, oh, of course, Hitler was a terrible man who murdered millions of people. You know, while they're trying to get some of the historical record correct, you know,
sure.
They still have to do that. So it's like a big game that's being played.
Sure, and the winners of any war are always going to denigrate and vilify the losers because they have to be horrible and bad in order to get the people to believe that we had a justification for going to war to begin with, and not only before but after. And so they have to keep using that same story about how terrible he was in order to cover up and justify their own behavior, and the Allies had a lot of behavior that they needed to justify, which is still concealed.
Absolutely, and it's not even it's a lot of it isn't so concealed, but it's not talked about, and people are able to ignore it. No matter even if you can bring it up, they will just once again focus on the stories about Hitler, which is the reason they keep putting them out. You know, I hope Gerhard gets on the line. I talked to him earlier this morning. He actually he gave me a little call and we talked for a while, and he did say that he thought we had such a good rapport together. He didn't want to interfere with that. I said, "Good heavens, you were scheduled on here first. You know, I'm not here to take. I don't want to take over the program. You know," I said, "I think the three of us will have a great energy going." And so I hope he didn't decide that. So Gerhard, come on, get on the phone and join us, please.
Sure. Now,
technical problem.
He just got Skype just recently, maybe yesterday, the day before, and I Skyped him, invited him to accept me as a contact, and I didn't hear back from him, and I did call yesterday and chatted for a minute with his wife and said, be sure and have Gerhard ping me back and accept me as a contact, but gosh, I hope he's okay.
Well, can't you connect a phone with Skype? You can connect them all together. Can't you do that? I thought I don't want.
I don't know. They have his phone number, and
I've had interviews where I'm on Skype and the person I'm interviewing is on their phone.
Sure, that works really well. Uh-huh. And Manny says that Gerhard's phone is not working properly.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. Let me just. Text him and see. Manny, are you trying to get a hold of Gerhard in another way, through Skype or something? Okay. Well,
right.
Hopefully he will come on. He's a dear, dear person. I just love him.
Oh, yeah, and he has so much to contribute. And so I do, too. Now, if we still have a little time before the break, I will mention that talking about the real Hitler, there's a book I'm just finishing. I've been reading it for a long time, a little at a time. And it's one that Veronica Clark mentioned on your program the other day when she was on. And it's the one by Otto Wagner's memoirs called Memoirs of a Confidant. And it's actually put together by a Yale professor.
Gerhard's here.
Okay. All right. Anyway, this gives an insight into Hitler that is really impressed me, and she said it was impressed her more than anything she'd ever read. So that was a real vote of confidence in my own feelings about this book.
All righty. We do have to take a break. Give us the name of that book when we come back in 3 minutes.
Okay.
Are
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Welcome back, friends. My guest today are Gerhard Strau and Carolyn Jaeger. And Gerhard calls us the Trinity of Truth. Is that not clever? Gerhard, how are you?
I'm good. I'm thrilled, actually, to to be part of the team. And I thank you, Diana, and Carolyn. And, of course, we have to thank RBN. And, of course, the many wonderful listeners. So, yeah, I think I'm honored and I'm ready to share wherever we can.
Right. And we were talking earlier about today is the anniversary of Adolf Hitler's birth, April 20th, 1889. And so we're going to talk about Hitler. And we were talking earlier about all the myths that abound even in the so-called truth movement, and people accept it because if you hear it from another truther, then it has to be true. But there's a lot of myths, lots and lots of myths, and books that support those myths.
Let me share something with you. A couple of years ago, I went on a tour around Europe, and we actually stopped somewhere in Italy. I forget now where it was, but it was a small place. And I went into a store there, and that was sort of a store of knickknacks. And, of course, all of a sudden I seen a bottle of wine here, of Hermann Göring, and then I looked a little bit over to the left, and here was a bottle of Adolf Hitler in wine. So I asked the owner, I said, is this a joke or what? I said, you know, I couldn't see this in my own country, Germany. No, no, he says, that's true. He says, we had some flag about that. But I said, how is the wine in the bottle? He says, well, he says, I drank some of the wine before they put the name or the picture of Hitler and Göring on the bottle. And he says, the wine is good. So a couple months ago, I went to a birthday party, and I gave somebody that bottle of wine of Hitler. But it was by mistake. So I called the guy up. I said, you know, I said, have you drank that bottle of wine? He says, no, my wife and I have been looking at that picture. He says, we have to talk to Garrett about this. So tomorrow they're going to come by here and we're going to drink that bottle. He was scared to open the bottle.
That's funny.
Yeah, that is funny. But I said, you know, how did, you know, people view different things, the Italians, the Spaniards. And here, the poor man, he was working and fighting for Germany to put it together, and his bottle could not be in Germany for nothing, you know what I'm saying? So this is in the world we are living in today. And sometimes when it gives you a relief of that sort, that you see a man, I don't really think he ever would have allowed that, you know, for him being put on a bottle of wine, because...
he didn't drink. That's true.
No, that's true. at least
that's
he didn't tell us.
That's true. But he also, yes, he didn't post paste pictures of himself all over Germany like all these leaders do. They only had the swastika banners, and that's looked upon as so terrible. But you didn't see pictures of Hitler's face anywhere.
No, he was very timid. He was very humble. You know, when I see sometimes all the things what they like to make Hitler of, and he was so far away from that. You know, because when you go into the footstep of his when he was very young. And that was tough. I mean, the young man, he lost early both of his parents, and he was very close to his mother, you know. And so he really had it hard, particularly when he wanted to go into the Academy of Painting, which they didn't want to let him in. Obviously, I think the senior gene was already there, and they were afraid of him. And because I went to an archive with all his pictures and cathedrals, what he painted, and he's supposed to be Antichrist, he's supposed to be with the occults and all this whole thing. So far from it. I mean, the man was actually too real for that time he was in. He was actually, I would say, 30, 40 years ahead of himself.
Oh, he was, Gerhard. But let's clarify about the painting. His painting ability and the Academy and so on. He was rejected by the Academy when he went from his little hometown. He went to Vienna with all of his drawings and his paintings and so on to apply. He was so confident, he was absolutely sure he was going to be accepted. It never entered his mind that he would not be. And this was before his mother died. When he went, there were over 100 who were rejected, and there weren't all that many that were accepted in the end. And he got through the first trial, you know, he made it through. He wasn't rejected in the first trial. Then you have a private interview with one of the professors, and they look over your work with you and so on. And the problem was that he didn't have enough heads. You know, he didn't do portraits that much or people that he had a lot of buildings. Okay, there we go.
All righty.
The reason he was rejected in the second trial the first time he applied.
Okay, we do need to take a 3-minute break, and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
All righty, we are back today. My guests are Gerhard Strau and Carolyn Yeager. And I had a couple of email messages. Rick said that there was a very good site that had some very good videos, which I have posted on the radio schedule page for this date. Got another message that said that that the show, the program went off the air at 12:14, and that undoubtedly that must be the ADL. And another message said, he misinterpreted what was being said. He said, and I quote, saying that the Rothschilds Rockefellers were not the primary financiers of World War I and World War II is a disservice to the truth movement. I don't think that that was said.
Mm-mm, it wasn't. We were talking about whether the Rothschilds or was the
grandfather
of Adolf Hitler.
And Diana and Carolyn, one has to look at it this way, too. When Hitler took over the party in 1933, there was nothing. There was not even a red dime anywhere.
Yeah, he took over the country. He took over he became chancellor. He didn't take over the party. You said party.
Correct, yes. But what I meant to say was, you know, but also he found out that the country was broke. Mm-hmm. So then if he was already in such great communicator with the Rothschilds, why would then Germany be so poor? But Hitler refaced this whole thing, or he actually put, like I said already once before on this station, and I believe in this, by taking the bull by the horns, if you really want to go somewhere. So Hitler said, well, the money is gone, the gold is gone. Well, who took it? Who made Germany to this time, let's say, from the late, let's say, 1919, and then to the 20s, the Germans were dying of hunger. And that was all purposely caused, and I still can remember my grandparents talking about this, how many people they knew that couldn't afford a meal, and that the average German was living on 40 pennies a day. And so now Hitler knew what I'm going to do now here. I am now here in charge. Well, he says, you know, he looked in his ranks. He says, we don't have this, we don't have that, but we have a good workforce. So you see, now he took put the workforce to work. He started getting in contact with the other countries around him who wanted to deal with him on the barter system. And you see, that was the crux. That's where the Rothschilds really start spinning their wheels and could see their fortune going, well, we could say, to hell. And and that, today, you know, the people cannot fathom when that Hitler didn't need those guys. America wouldn't need them. If America would have a good Hitler up in Washington, he could solve this thing in 1 year. And we would be prosperous again, just for all our resources, which Germany didn't have. And look what Hitler all did with synthetic stuff, with the oil and with so many inventions they had. The Americans ran off with 383,000 inventions that the Germans had lying there on the desk, and they took off with it. Did they ever get paid for this? Hell no. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, there were so many great things being created by Germans, but there were quite a number that Hitler himself was the inventor of.
Correct.
There are
absolutely
famous
right.
buildings that were constructed that Hitler made the original sketches for and ideas.
Look at
Hitler
the Autobahn.
He was a tremendously inventive and highly intelligent person. But to get back, just real quick, this person who wrote in about the Rothschilds, when people who want to say that the World War One and World War Two were totally created and carried out by the Rothschild Rockefellers, there's something too simplistic about that. And that, you know, this kind of thinking is what causes people to get carried away with conspiracy theories, and everybody has to fit into that conspiracy theory. I mean, everyone is being told what to do by Mr. Rothschild, you know, and it's just more complicated than that.
But look at this. When Adolf Hitler I lost my thought there.
Talking about the inventions.
Yeah. What I was going to share with you was to go back to him as an artist, so that we don't sputter that away too fast. A couple of months ago, we had some visitors here, and a lady, she was a teacher, and she had very thrifting questions about Hitler, his mannerism and what he has done and all this whole thing. And I said to her, you know, I said, I'm going to send you some nice emails about what Hitler really is from the inside. When you look at the man's painting, for instance, there was a beautiful bouquet of flowers that he painted it with such beautiful colors of the rainbow, you could say. So I sent her that email. I said, you know, would you accept a bouquet of flowers like this for Valentine's? Now, I said, if you do, then you have to think about where it is coming from. This was painted by Adolf Hitler. And we could go on and on and on like this. When you really look into the depth of the man, when he painted something, you see a painter I had a good friend once. He was a tremendous painter, but nothing close to Hitler. And you could see when he was concentrating on something good, and you could see it on the canvas. You know what I'm saying? Because the man, Hitler, it's so bad that he was so plundered, so furiously made evil.
And you know, in that regard, I grew up thinking that he was nothing but a down-and-out house painter, that he painted houses. And
yeah,
I was not aware of his artistic skills until much, much later.
And that's why in the newspapers, especially the British newspapers, they always call him a second-rate artist when they have to, or third-rate, when they have to bring that up, you know, and that because lots of times there's auctions of his paintings going on, of which I think some of them are not his paintings, but somebody's put their name on them. But and so then they have to bring that up. So then they say, well, you know, and they compare him to these abstract artists, the Jewish abstract artists like Rothko
or Elvis playing cards.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. I mean, I've seen that painting, but I haven't seen that comparison. But you know, I mean, and of course, they're so wrong. But, you know, taste in art has been changed by the Frankfurt School. Oh, I don't want us to get off into that. But it has been changed so that traditional art is now considered so passé that if anybody would engage in it, you know, ever since 1900 or so, well, they're just, you know, they don't know anything about art, and they're, you know, modern art is the way to go. And of course, modern art has taken us into things that are so un-art,
grotesque,
that are horrible and even vile and pornographic because they don't know where to go with it.
But that's a deliberate thing to affect the morality of a particular country.
And this is what Adolf Hitler said, too. He was always, you know, they make fun of Hitler for his art shows of his one he had put up. They put up one show called Degenerate Art, and that's a lot is made out of that. Oh, what a terrible, you know, what uncultural people they were. They put all these great modern paintings in this exhibit and called it Degenerate Art. But, you know, Hitler was always talking about that, about the morality of things, so.
Do you remember, Carolyn, when Hitler came into the swing of things, that, yes, when we say the Rothschilds and the Warburgs and so on, but Hitler was not per se connected to them because he knew that they were the evildoers of the demise of Germany at that time. But he also knew that there were good, wealthy, decent Jewish people living for a long, long time in Germany, and that Hitler had very good connections with, because, and I think you mentioned it earlier, that Hitler's private doctor was Jewish. Hitler's first bodyguard who took care of him.
It wasn't Hitler's private doctor. It was his mother's doctor.
Yeah, but okay.
And he did treat Hitler when he was like 13 years old for his lung ailment. So that was a family doctor. But later when he had his own doctors, none of them were Jewish. And I'm not saying that to put down Jewish doctors, but that's just a fact. And people always want to say, a lot of people will say, oh, he had a Jewish doctor. That means he really was, you know, he had to have Jews around him. But
he did make a lot of good business with some of the decent business people that were present in Germany for many, many years. And who also even were against the declaration of war against Germany at that time, you see. One has to give the credit due where it is due. And of course, we are not here discussing things to slander anybody or put anybody down. What we only like to do here is to reveal the good things, what the man was all about, isn't it?
Right. Yes, and you know, I was talking about this book. I'm really glad you said that.
All right. Tell us what the name of that book was.
Because I've got a part in this book that I was reading last night, I think, that where he's mentioning Jews, And at least according to, remember, this is Otto Wagner's memoirs, but they really sound pretty good, pretty close to truth. And, it's long. I mean, there's a lot. Oh, there's so much in here that you hear, according to him, what Hitler was saying over a period of time from 1929 to 1931, when he was very close to Adolf Hitler, one of his top aides there, and Adolf Hitler was working out all kinds of ideas and talking to him. And this is a very smart man, this Wagner, and he took notes. And then later he wrote all this when he was in a British prison. But you know, when I find this part, but the name of it, Deanna, is Hitler, Memoirs of a Confidant. And
all right, okay, I have ordered
that. Edited by Henry Ashby Turner Jr. Yeah, well, that's, I'm so glad I got it. Someone recommended it to me, and I bought a used copy on Amazon. It didn't cost that much, and it's just one of the best books I've ever seen. Now, you guys go ahead, and I'll look for this little section here.
Okay, I got another email that was ask a question. Shelley wanted to know about the video on Eustace Mullins, and she asked if it was the one where he was interviewed by a particular person, and which I don't believe it was. I'm not sure where this video came from, but it was just a 10-minute clip, and you know, it was obviously taken out of context, and I will post it on the radio schedule website, but it was taken out of context, and it was talking about the concentration camps. First of all, the title of the video that the person had given it was something very, very negative, talking about how the Sonderkommando, or I can't remember the title. Maybe one of the listeners will remember. But it was talking about the concentration camps, and Eustace Mullin was talking about the it was almost as if he were saying, yes, I do believe in everything about the Holocaust that we've been told. And so, like I say, it was a video that was taken out of context, and there's been a lot of rhetoric about that video in the last week. And it just made Eustace Mullins look really bad. And,
well, he was not really a bad person. Didn't he just die very recently?
Yes, within the last 6-7 months, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, I think he was a ball of fire, wasn't he?
He wrote a lot of very good things. Yes, he first wrote about the Federal Reserve, and there are some videos out on the internet about him. And yes, he did do a lot of good things, and. Let's see, and Shelley also brings up it's A-N-T-O-N-Y, Sutton, who wrote about Wall Street funding and the rise of Hitler and whatnot. And Sutton was associated with the institute, the one that Herbert Hoover graduated from. It was Hoover Institute. And he graduated in California. And so after World War I, Herbert Hoover got about 1,500 agents, went throughout Europe gathering up records and information that really would have put the responsibility for the war on the proper people. Anyway, he went around, he had his agents, and it grew to like 5,000 agents. And they brought carloads of records out of Russia and everything. And so it was kind of an interesting thing. So I have questions about Sutton. He did do a lot of really good things, wrote some really good books. But I question his association with the Hoover Institute.
Yes, I would too. I question what he's got. I have to admit, I haven't read his book. I've read all about it, and I just can't read some of these books, and I don't read as many books as you do, Deanna.
Well, I like to know what the other side is saying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if there are sides, then I want to know what other people are saying. so that it's like a lawyer who prepares the opposition's case, so that you kind of, you know how to prepare, how to oppose some of the negatives and basically out and out lies that are said. And so you have to kind of know what they're saying in order to say, now wait a minute, how can you, you know, show us some proof here, show us some exact proof. And anyway, we do have to cut to a break in just a few moments, a few seconds, and we will be back, and we can talk about this video, and maybe talk about it, just what we found wrong with it. Remember, our guest today is Gerhard Strau and Carolyn Jaeger. We will be back with them after a word from our sponsors.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Have you heard? Proactive is new and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With new Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-1053. Because we're going to let a million people try new Proactive risk-free. Get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try new and better than ever Proactive, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of the new Proactive, two free extras, and free shipping when you call 1-800-635-1053. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of new Proactive plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. This offer won't last long. Call 1-800-635-1053. That's 1-800-635-1053.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a one-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, the online store. It's a featured product.
We are back, and I was referring to the Hoover Institute, and that was at Stanford University. And since Hoover had graduated, he was in the first graduating class from that university. And what they did with all the World War One records is that they created several collections, and those collections are closed. Basically, you know, nobody's going to go in there and actually investigate and get into those records to discover some of the things that they want concealed. Now, Herbert Hoover,
who was the president during the crash. He was president from 1928 to 1932, had been a Rothschild asset for a number of years, because as soon as he got out of college, he went almost immediately to London, where he came to the attention of the Rothschilds, and he basically worked for them and was rewarded very, very well. He had a directorship in several several mining organizations, and he was a real scoundrel. And so the Hoover Institute does not have a real good sound to it to me. You know, when somebody says records are in the Hoover Institute, I automatically think negatively of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are we referring here to now? This video by Eustace Mullins? You know, my opinion of Mullins is that, as you said, he did a lot of very good work, but as he got older, and he didn't have, his mentor around to watch over him, he started
his mentor
saying
was
things.
Pound?
Pound, yeah, Ezra Pound, mm-hmm. Yes. He started saying things when he would be on programs or talking to people just to get along. I mean, this was in the later years, you know.
Right.
He would just agree to things. They'd say, well, wasn't it this and that? Oh, yes, he'd say. And people have commented on this, people who knew him and had spent some time around him. And Mike Piper is one of them. You know, that he was just going along with everything. And so what he was doing on that video, I don't know why I don't know how old he was then or when that was done.
I think he was older. And I think when people get older, with the exception of Gerhard. Gerhard has a mind
everybody's like that. I have a very good friend who was born also over there in Austria. And, He's quite old chronologically, but there's nothing wrong with his thinking, and he doesn't ever go along with stuff. But there was something going on with.
I think you're right.
And he was saying, so obviously he liked the limelight. You know, we all have our faults, and he liked the people listening, and he would tell people what they wanted to hear, and that's what he was doing. I don't know how he got into that, but somebody got that into his head. About Hitler being part of the Zionist conspiracy to take over the world or something.
Right.
But, Diana, what I like maybe to put a couple of words here, and that is with, say, the older people or the older thinking. And, of course, I sort of hitting that threshold, and I sometimes reflect back. And what I'm reflecting to is this, and I like to share this with you and your audience. When you have gone for X years and multiplying things, putting it together, and see the good and bad in the society and also in the people, and a lot of times when you reflect and sometimes you are confronted with nonsense, you are easily, you pick it up very quickly, and you do not have too much tolerance. At least I don't have too much tolerance for nonsense, or somebody tries to lie to me, or tries to put stinky stories out there.
Well, you're a sharp dude. That's for sure.
that's right.
to take the top of the hour break.
But Diana, you have to nourish it when you are with two ladies on the same line, you know.
We will be back in 1 minute.
The next round of the worst financial...